Amen. I want to give you a spiritual paradox. You ever heard, you know, when everything is, something has changed, but it's still the same. A spiritual paradox is when you're in the presence of God and everything has changed, but everything is still the same. Have you ever had those? Amen. That's when God speaks to you and you know He spoke to you and great things are coming and you know you've broke through in the spirit realm, even though everything else still looks the same, but you know everything has changed. Well, we've had a paradox, a spiritual paradox. Yeah. Amen. Back in the prayer room this morning, the Lord told us, He said, you've hit the jackpot. Hallelujah. So, amen, it's good to hit the jackpot, right? And we've hit the jackpot in many ways, financially, family, health, praise God, turnaround, and all those things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, I dare to say, if one of you were to win the lottery, the big deal, I don't think you'd frown about it. I don't think you would act normal. I wouldn't. Trust me, I wouldn't. You'd think I went to sleep with a clothes hanger in my mouth, grinning so much. But how many knows we have a more sure word? God's word is sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you have your bulletin this morning, we're gonna minister on how well do we know Him or how well do we know God. How many knows there is a difference in knowing God and knowing about Him? There's a huge difference. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of difference in just, you know, thinking we know God, but really know Him. And He is constantly, the word Jehovah means God is constantly revealing Himself to us. He is so big and so dynamic and so wonderful that we just couldn't comprehend Him all in one time, and I really believe for all eternity, ages roll on, we'll still be comprehending God. Someone said when the cherubims and the angels cry, holy, 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 it's because every time they look at Him, they're just seeing more of Him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. James 1, I'm going to get to the bulletin here in just a minute. James 1, 16 and 17 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, verse 16, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So when James says, do not err, he says, make no mistake about it. Be certain that you know who God is. That God is good all the time. That He's good. He's a good, good daddy. He is amazingly good all the time. He can't be better than He is because He's the best. Right? Amen. Glory to God. Well, in Jeremiah 9, now, you know, I want to tell you this. The first time I heard this verse of Scripture was my wife Pam shared this verse. She may not remember it, but it was years ago, and it marked me. When she shared that verse stood out to me, and I've never forgot it. It's just amazing how the Lord can use certain Scriptures and different ones to speak into your life. But Pam was the first one I've ever heard that spoke this verse. In your bulletin, it's in the King James, but I want to read it from the Living Bible. It's all about the same thing. Somebody said, well, Brother Gerald, why would you read it from the Living? Well, it wouldn't be no difference if I read it out of the King James and explained it to you. That's pretty much the same thing. That's really what it is. The Lord says, let not the wise man bask in his wisdom, nor the mighty man in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. Let them boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord of justice and of righteousness, whose love is steadfast, and that I love to be this way. Now, isn't it amazing that God tells us to brag about something? He tells us to brag that we know Him. That's the only time that I really think we can boast is when we brag on the Lord. We can boast about the Lord. We ought to boast how big He is. We ought to boast how merciful He is. Amen. I'm going to pause every now and again because you should say amen to this. I mean, we ought to just go around all the time and say, my God is a good daddy. My God is a merciful Father. My God can never fail me. My God is nothing but absolutely good and absolutely love, and I'm going to boast about that. I'm going to brag about that. My God is faithful to every promise He told me in His Word. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. He will be with me always, even to the end of the world, and whithersoever that I go, He is there. He will not fail me. My God is awesome. My God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. My God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. My Lord is my shepherd, and He looks ahead and makes provision. My Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? He is the light of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? My God is awesome. He is the creator from the ends of the earth, and He is so wonderful, and I love Him, and I magnify Him. So we ought to boast, not how rich we are, not how wise we are, not how strong we are, but how good God is. Amen. That's the only time that we have a Christian okay to brag and ooh and ah is about how good God is. Amen? So we ought to be doing that. So Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah the prophet, tell my people to boast on how good I am, to boast that they know me that way. Don't ever confuse God. Sickness will never come from God because He has none. Right? Hallelujah. Poverty will never come from God because He has none. Right. Headaches will never come from God because He has none. Amen. Well, some people say, well, the Lord will afflict you in this way so He can teach you something. Why did He give us the Holy Spirit? He is the teacher. Now, will you learn in tests and trials? Sure, we'll learn in tests and trials. Oh my, but God is absolutely good. Hallelujah. You know, John chapter 17, verse 3, when Jesus prayed the longest recorded prayer that we have, His Messiah prayer, when He prayed, He said, Father, You have given me power over all flesh. So Jesus has authority over your flesh. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your bones, your muscles, your heart, your kidneys, your lungs, every part of your flesh, you ought to say, Jesus, You have authority over my flesh. God has given You authority over all of my flesh. Hallelujah. Anything that Jesus does is good. Glory to God. Folks, He wants us to live well. He wants us to live long. And He wants us to finish strong. Hallelujah. That's how good God is. Don't mix it up. Now, James says, don't err. God gets blamed for all kinds of things and on insurance policies. Yeah. Well, it's an act of God. What's an act of God? Killing, stealing, and destroying? That's not an act. That's an act of a God, but not our God. It's the act of the God of this world. Do you know Genesis chapter 6 tells us that man has corrupted his own way? Do you realize that this earth was created perfect? Adam and Eve were created perfect. Everything was perfect. The weather, the fruits, the vegetables, the water, everything was perfect. But when sin came in, sin brought corruption. Sin brought disruption. Sin brought a twist of God's will on things. And even I firmly believe today, you may not agree, but hallelujah anyway. I believe these bad storms is all a product of evil in the world. It's because we fill the atmosphere with stuff that's not of God. We fill the atmosphere, you know, with releasing demonic things and so forth. Folks, you can't tell me that God changes. He, from the very beginning of time, He has always been good. Always. And He always will be good. So we ought to boast about that. We ought to say, I just want to boast on how good the Lord is. Now, years ago in my Christian walk, I knew He was good sometimes, but I thought He was moody. I thought He was schizophrenia. And I based that on how I felt. I thought, well, if I'm feeling this way about me, then God must feel this way about me and how wrong I was. And I was thinking, well, you know, oh, my Lord, you never know what God's going to do. Well, isn't that amazing? amazing. If I were to, you know, describe my earthly father, Pierre Molester, to you, I'd say, now, he's a good man, and he's a man of his word. But let me warn you, you never know. He may be moody one day. You never know what he's going to do. And that's describing my daddy? No, that's not describing my daddy. You could depend on him. He was a man of honor, a man of integrity, a man of his word. He was his daddy to me and all the rest of our siblings, so we knew him, and we didn't confuse him with some thief down the road. We didn't confuse him with someone else. Well, don't confuse your Father God. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And then he says, I have come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. Jesus himself describes the difference between him and the devil. The devil's bad and he is good. Amen. And so we ought to joy, we ought to glory in that. We ought to boast in that. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I said God is good all the time. Amen. Do you see, the new birth is instant. Whenever you get born again, that's instant. But spiritual development is not instant. Spiritual growth is not instant. The Bible says, what is it, 2 Peter 3:18? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be dominion both now and forever. Amen. So it says grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Grow in it. I'll tell you what, brother, I don't want nothing to do with that grace preaching. Well, the Bible says grow in grace. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord, that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So he tells us to grow in grace. He says to be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, we can't grow in something unless we hear about it, unless we study and engage ourselves with it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. So the new birth is an instant thing. When you get born again, you were a new creature in Christ. But there's a lot. We were called babes in Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. So you see, we grow by feeding on the word. We grow by Christian fellowship. We grow by being faithful and dedicated to God. We grow by taking God at his word. Amen. He told us back there in the prayer room this morning, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is upright or perfect toward him. God said he's looking for people to believe his word. And then he told us, I think it was Hebrews 3:12, he says that we ought to take heed lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in us, an evil heart of unbelief. So unbelief is evil. God does not see Asa in the Bible, in that Chronicles verse there, he at one time trusted God. God did miracles for him. God did wonders for him. But I don't know what happened to Asa. Somehow his heart departed from God, and there was an army came against him, and he began to give pledges out to other people, giving them silver, giving them gold. Will you hook up with me in covenant? Will you help me? Just like God is not strong enough. And then the scripture goes on to say that Asa had a disease in his foot, and he sought the physicians and not the Lord, and he died with the disease in his foot. Now, that's not to say we're not to go to the doctor, but we are not to depart from the living God. Folks, it's written in the word of God. God takes delight in those who believe his word. The reason Abraham was righteous, the Bible said in Genesis 15:6, and Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So when we take God at his word, and no doubt his word, well, Brother Joe, I can see with these eyes. Well, big deal, your eyes can lie. Amen. I can hear with these ears where your natural ears can lie. That's the truth. Yeah. Amen. Now see, the word of God gives us faith sense, and also we have common sense. I mean, we understand that God used medical doctors, and we praise him for that. Hallelujah. But folks, he is not limited. You know, one time as I was ministering on wealth and prosperity, boy, I had some Christians, Brother Jim. I tell you, Christians, hypocritical Christians, you know. Just started, you know, making noises, negative, unbelieving noises, you know. Well, I just don't know about all that. I just don't know all about that. So I prayed. I said, Lord, what do you say about it? He says, son, if it's written in my word, you preach it. And here's what he told me about wealth, Brother Steve, and I'll never forget it. He said, there is a balance, but no limit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a balance, but no limit. Folks, listen. God is faithful to His Word, and we ought to brag about that. We ought to praise Him about that, that His Word is true. Amen. So Jeremiah says, boast in the Lord. Brag that you know Him. Folks, it's a sad day in our Christian life. What are tests for in school, in college, and in life? A test is to see what you know. You know, exams, study material, and then they're going to test your knowledge. It could be, I love the multiple choice because you could guess at those and get a few of them right. You know, but life itself is a test. What about when the enemy comes against you? How much of this do you know, the Word? How much of this do you stand on? Or how much of your own understanding do you lean to? How much of your natural ear do you listen to? How much of your natural eye do you let determine whether or not it's true or not? But folks, I'm telling you, we ought to learn to stand on the unfailing Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what growing in grace is all about. And that's what we should boast. And we know the Lord. We know Him. Hallelujah. When Tracy was doing the offering this morning, you all probably heard me going, ha, ha, ha. Y'all hear that? Well, I was laughing at the devil, because in the spirit realm I could see that the Holy Spirit would deal with people to give and they would be stubborn. But the Lord says, where there's one stubborn, I've got 100 that's more than willing to obey me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can really take this to school or take this home with you. One monkey don't stop no show. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, folks, God is faithful to His Word. He is faithful to you. He is faithful to me. He is faithful to our nation. He's faithful to Church Alive. He's faithful to your children. He's faithful to your family. And He wants us to take Him at His word and boast about Him. Amen. Brag about the Lord. Amen. Amen. Boast that you know the Lord. Boast that you know He is faithful. Amen. Amen. So how well do we know Him? And don't err about it. Because like I said, in my early Christian life, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. But most of my life, I absolutely dreaded to die because I thought, there ain't no way I'm going to start to, I don't want to die and I don't want to get saved and I don't want to go to hell. I was really in a dilemma, I'm telling you. I didn't want to die, didn't want to get saved, didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to be left alone. But it didn't work that way. But even after I got saved, I dreaded going to church. Because I thought, I can't measure up. I can't live this Christian life. But what was my problem? It was a lack of revelation. You know, whenever the Bible tells you, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. Really, that word vision means revelation of God. When you don't have a revelation of God, you stumble all over yourself. So I was stumbling all over myself. Was it God's fault? No. But I needed revelation. I needed an understanding that God is absolutely good and that He loves me through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He puts our feet on a solid ground because Jesus is a sure foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's going to get gooder and gooder and better and better. Amen. Will we have tests? Certainly. Will we have trials? Certainly. Will we have tribulation? Certainly. Will there be times that you'll be challenged? Certainly. But when you know God, you can boast who He is. You can boast about Him. You can boast about Him in the storm. You can boast about Him. Glory to God. You know, we are, Sister Shirley King that comes here occasionally to minister for her, she is 81. And so full of life. I mean, drives everywhere. She was with us this week. She came at Richland, stayed all day long in Richland, then came to prayer, and probably close 10 o'clock by herself, 81 years young, going to drive the Whipple. But she still goes to curbs, and she still works out and cans beans. But she told us up here 54 verses every day, morning of time and evening time. And you say, well, Brother Gerald, I just don't have time for all that. Well, folks, I'm telling you, we ought to make time for the God. We ought to make time for the Word. Amen. Amen. But she's so full of life. And you know, a lot of people think it's weird, but she's living to be a long, ripe old age. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that the days of man shall be 120. Now, I know that seems far out. People say, well, you're not going to live to be 120. But even on Kenneth Copeland, on their services right now, they are already talking about what they're going to do when they're 100. They're going to go bowling. They're going to go roller skating. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. Hallelujah. But you see, if we think death, if we thought death, if we visualize death, and if we visualize sick and we talk sick and we think, well, I guess everybody just gets old and wore out and goes to the grave, you know, half you know, got one eye and half sense and all those things. No, folks, listen, there's a higher plane we can get on. If we just know that God is good, glory to God, and we can have a suddenly with the Lord, we can have it just like Becker in the prayer room this morning. I mean, I never thought of that word, never used that word before. Some of you might say, well, Brother Drew, I really don't believe that. Well, I feel sorry for you. When God said you've hit a jackpot. But I know how we hit the jackpot. It surely wasn't by twiddling our thumbs. It surely wasn't by letting our mind go crazy. It surely wasn't by having an evil heart of unbelief and departing from believing God. It was by prayer. It was by praise. It was by meditating the Word of God day and night. It was by dancing when you didn't feel like dancing. It was laughing when you didn't feel like laughing. It was by walking in love and bridling our tongue. You know, James 1:22 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That word slow to speak, it means slow to use your mouth. And Facebook is using your mouth. I mean, folks, all this stuff is serious for all of us, me included, all of us. Amen? It's serious. We don't want to mess up our own life, right? So we should boast in who the Lord is, boast that we know Him to be absolutely good, merciful, loving, kind, and gracious. Do you know Him that way? But can we know Him better? Yes, we can. Can we know Him gooder and gooder? Yes, we can. Now listen to this. Look what happens when you dwell with the Lord. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord. I mean, if I spent a day with you, and I can leave your presence knowing something about you, whether you're positive, whether you're negative, whether you're extrovert or introvert, whether you are, your attitude is great, or whether you are emotionally down, sometimes up. I mean, if you spend a day with someone, you're going to know a little something about them. When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and you abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you're going, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Amen. Glory to God. And folks, we know when you abide with the Lord, you can start talking about Him. See, that's how Jeremiah said, boast that you know the Lord. Boast that you know that He's faithful. Hallelujah. Now, do I understand how all this spiritual stuff works? No, I don't understand. But I know it's spiritual. I don't understand the delays in the spirit realm. I don't understand how why some things happen. I know the enemy's behind it, because anything that kills, steals, and destroys, anything that deceives and lies is the devil. It's the devil. That's all you can say about it, because God is nothing but absolutely truth. And I don't understand, you know, why we would have 100 prayer meetings, and then all of a sudden on 100 number one, I'm just using this as illustration, all of a sudden you just get a spiritual paradox. The presence of God starts talking to you and says you've hit a jackpot or you've hit a breakthrough. Just like this morning, the Lord said, I want you to do a prophetic illustration with Abby. And I said, Abby, come over here. We was back in the prayer room, and he didn't know. I didn't tell him. I did it. The Lord said, turn him around. So I began to turn him around. He said, that's a prophetic sign, brother, that a turnaround is coming in your life. Glory to God. Well, Brother Gerald, all that's not necessary. Well, just do without a turnaround. That's all I got to tell you. I'll tell you what, man, if I was blind, you go by the pool of Siloam in John chapter 9, they rub mud on, Jesus spit and rubbed mud on a man's eye. But guess what? He came back seeing. Now, you may think that's a little far out, but I'd rather be a little far out and have some good eyesight as to be so religiously stuck up that I couldn't see which way was up and which way was down. Glory to God. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, God wants us to use our body and to demonstrate how good He is. When I move my body, when I move my feet, glory to God, my praise is a weapon. My shout is a weapon. Hallelujah. And it's a weapon in the spirit realm. Patty, how many times has God told you, you didn't run for nothing? And I'll tell you what, in the part of the bulletin when I put the amplified where God says, I will not, I will. Let's just read that, because I'll say something to Patty by it. You know, let me quote this, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Scripture says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, He gives us a promise. I will not leave you nor forsake you, so you can boldly say. See, He makes us a promise, then He gives us authority to talk. You can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. The Amplified Bible, and I remember Patty giving this word to you. You remember that? Right out of this word. For God Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So Patty, the Lord said just to tell you, said just to remind you, said tell her I'm still just as true to that word today as I was a few years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. Now see, that's somebody that's knowing God. When you can talk that way. You may feel like the Lord's forsaking you, but your feelings will lie to you. You may feel like, well, nothing's really going to happen in my life. But folks, you got to talk to where you want to go. We had a guy come here from Ghana, Africa. And he said he was in the village. And he said they didn't even have shoes to wear. And they were as poor could be. And he started learning English. And they mocked him in his village. Why? And his name was George Kennedy. They said, George, why are you learning English? He said, because I want to talk to where I'm going. I'm going to the United States of America, and I'm going to learn how to talk to where I'm going. Well, you ought to learn how to talk prosperity if you want to go there. Learn how to talk health if you want to go there. Learn how to talk anointing if you want to go there. Learn how to talk breakthrough if you want to go there. Learn how to talk more than enough if you want to go there. Learn how to talk turnaround if you want to go there. Learn how to talk jackpot if you want to go there. Learn how to talk glory to God and learn and believe God. Yeah. Now, folks, I'm preaching with the spirit of faith. See, this is how faith in God does. I mean, if we come to church and it doesn't affect the way we think and talk outside the church, we've just made a visit. We've just showed up. But when we get checks, all right, the Lord says, don't think that way, so you start changing. Don't talk that way, so you start changing. Don't act that way, so you start changing. You see, that's growing in grace. And that's boasting in who the Lord is. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you again. I want to hit the jackpot. Amen. In every way. Yeah. And I want you to. I really do. I want you to hit the jackpot in your finances. I want you to hit a jackpot in your health. I want you to hit jackpot in your family relationships. I want you to be blessed, glory to God. I want us to do this together, glory to God, together. I can't believe you're going to have people in heaven and they're just going to be going, well, I made it. Aren't you glad you made it? Uh-huh. I'm here. I'm in heaven. What do you think about this? Streets of gold? Well, I mean, that's bordering on insanity. Yeah. Hallelujah. No, that's not hallelujah. Let me reverse that. Well, praise the Lord is what hallelujah means. Amen. But folks, this is real. It's real. It's real. Hallelujah. Perseverance is how the snail and the turtle made it to the ark. They were slow, but they made it. Persevere. We've got to persevere in the spirit. We got to persevere in prayer. We got to persevere in thinking right. We got to persevere in folks, listen, God has not lost your number. He has not lost a hair on your head or number. He knows every one what number it was when it fell. He has not lost your number. He has not lost his contact with you. You may lose your cell phone and lose all of your contact. God doesn't have a cell phone, so he doesn't lose your contacts. Glory to God. He's got you from A to Z. He's got your children. He's got your grandchildren. He's got your dedication. He's got your faithfulness. Every nickel, every dollar, every dime, every sacrifice you've given financially, God remembers that. Hallelujah. And he will not forget that. Folks, I'm telling you, we cannot. We must believe that God is faithful to his word. Amen. I mean, Tracy's offering this morning, honey, you maybe want to empty my wallet right here on the spot. I mean, I thought, Lord, tell her to be quiet. You're going to get every dollar I got on me today, right here, right now. I mean, it stirred me. Amen. Hallelujah. So we ought to boast on how good God is. And it's going to get better. He's going to get better for us. Amen. Amen. You know, and I know this is in the natural realm here. And I've been there, it's natural to do this, but we ought to do the other too. What's this? Well, when someone's in the hospital, and you're in the ER or emergency room, or you're in the waiting room, or after surgery, or whatever, you always want to know, what did the doctor say? Everybody wants to know, what did the doctor say? What's the doctor say? What's the doctor say? Everybody wants to know, and that's good, that's okay. But boy, if you base your life, now listen, I'm glad I'm not a doctor because they sure get hashed up sometimes, you know, thinking that preachers are against it. We're not against doctors, but, you know, but so many times we get so wrapped up in what the medical says that we forget what God says. Amen. And they have to present to you what they find in their x-rays and ultrasounds and et cetera, and that's okay. But we ought to be able to say, what does God say? I know my Father loves me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give you blow your tube verse right now. And I'm going to go to the other side here in just a second. For those of you that never had a tube TV, you don't know what that means. I'll tell you what, this impatient generation, Jim, could have never made it with a tube television. First of all, you got to turn it on and wait a while. Let it warm up. And then you got to bang it on the side a little bit to help it. And then you have to look at your antenna and walk about a mile straight up a hill and holler three or four different people down. Is it, you got it yet? Can you get channel 5 yet? Can you get any channel? Yeah, you can. Pray that the wind don't blow. Now, some of you, that's foreign language. But for some of us, that's everyday talk. But I want you to look in John chapter 17. I want you to see this. Verse 20. This is the prayer that I was telling you Jesus prayed. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. He's praying for us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art to me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we're one. Now look in verse 23. Look at it. Really good. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and you read the rest of it. Tell me one more time. Can you believe that God loves you identically like he loves Jesus? Not less, not almost close to, but the same way. See, he says, boast about that. So you ought to just say, thank you, Father. You love me just exactly like you love Jesus. Woo, praise God. Now, see, we read these things, and years ago, I'd read it, and I'd probably put it in, read fast and say, well, that's nice, and just overlook it. But no, God doesn't want it. He wants us to embrace that. He wants us to realize how much He loves us. How could a loving Father that loves us as much as He loved Jesus put sickness on Him and call it Him? He can't. He doesn't. Amen? So we ought to boast on how good God is. Hallelujah. Just because you have a limp one day, that doesn't mean you have to live with it. Just because you have a feel bad one day in your body, that doesn't identify you forever. Just because you don't feel so good for a day or two, that's not your lot in life. Because you could have an encounter with the Lord and His goodness. Before the prayer people got back there, I was just shouting on the inside, just reading the Bible. I'm thinking, man, it's so anointed. The Word of God is life. Hallelujah. You remember Hebrews 4:12? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body and the soul, soul and spirit, and joint and mire, and is the discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. I'm thinking, Lord, Your Word is so... When I was reading this in John, Loretta, I just stopped and I said, Father, You love me identically like You love Jesus. You love me, Father. You love me. You love my bones. You love my heart. You love my lungs. You love my white blood cells, my red blood cells. You love my brain. You love my eyes. You love my ears. Well, brother, the girl, I just don't believe in saying all that. Well, that's not my, I can't help that, but I do, glory to God, hallelujah, and it makes a difference. I feel good, man, give me a jump rope, yeah, 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 man, I can jump rope, glory to God. I mean, I'm 60 years young, and I feel good, glory to God. I think I got a brother-in-law, Bobby, back there. I don't want to go with him in the woods. I can't keep up right now. I've heard stories about him, that you get Bobby out in the woods, he's just like I don't know what you call him, ever energized bunny rabbit. He just goes, man. He can just move. Uh-huh. But see, he believes that. He don't expect to not to make it. Amen? I don't, this is coming out different than I studied it. But folks, it's rich, it's real, it's good. I mean, Kenneth Copeland is 81 or 82 himself right now, and he says he feels better now than he did when he was in his 60s. Still rides his Harley, still flies his jet, still passes the physical exams, you know, the medical, and he was interviewing, he's 80-something, he was interviewing a guy one day younger than him, and this guy looked older than Brother Copeland. I mean, Brother Copeland, I'm thinking, you know, it just looks so weird, looks so funny. I'm thinking, here's an 82 or 81-year-old man interviewing this other guy, and this other guy, well, what's the difference? It could be mind, it could be words, it could be all kinds of things, you know, would be different. Amen? Now, you understand what I'm saying about this. I'm not preaching. I'm preaching to stir us up, not to hurt you, not to put you down, but to love on you and to tell you that God has a better life for us. Amen? He has a better... In this world, Jesus didn't die on the cross just to help us a little bit. But here's what I'm going to say. When I said it earlier, that I may not understand it, maybe you don't understand the spiritual battles that goes on. You know, you pray for your children and they look the same. Or you pray for whatever and it just seems like everything is staying the same. But you don't talk according to the circumstance. You got to talk to where you're going. Amen. And so, you know, I don't know, this all of a sudden you have a day, a moment, it might be at your house, whenever you just, the Holy Spirit just starts telling you things, speaking things to you, and that word, that rhema word He gives you, and then all of a sudden it boosts your faith, it strengthens your faith. We shouldn't be so taken up with our faith. We shouldn't be taken up with circumstances. We should be taken up with who Jesus is. Amen. But as I was saying, and then you just know in the spirit realm something has happened. Why didn't it happen last week? I don't know. Why didn't it happen last month? I don't know. Why did it happen today? I don't know. But I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me what day you want to give me $10,000. I'll take it any day. Does it matter to you? No, it doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter what day the Lord wants you well. See, that's like that woman in Luke 13, verse 10, you know, says that there was a woman that came to the synagogue who was bowed over and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." It was on Sunday, a Sabbath day. That word infirmity means demon of sickness. That's what it says. It means demon of sickness. And then he touched her. Immediately she got straightened up. And the religious people said, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work and not come on, and not on the Sabbath day." And Jesus said, "You hypocrite, if you got a mule, a donkey, or a cow, don't you give them some water? Don't you lead them down to the water and let them drink?" And said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound?" Well, he didn't say God did it. He said the devil did it. He said, "Whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day." And his adversaries couldn't say a word. Glory to God. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, any day is a good day with the Lord. Any day is a good day to be healed. Any day is a good day to be blessed. Any day is a good day to have an encounter. Any day is a good day to interpret your prayer. Any day is a good day to get revelation. Any day is a good day to dance. Any day is a good day to praise. Any day is a good day. Amen. Any day, anytime. I know I'm preaching some of you, I'm plowing your field crossways, but that's all right, you need it. Some of you have a spirit of surrender on you and you don't realize it. And it's not a good surrender. I just saw it when I was standing there and I moved over here. But when situation comes, some of you, rather than fight and stand firm on the word, you surrender. Well, that's just the way it is. Well, that's just my lot in life. I don't have a surrender. I've got a faith resist. No. No, that's not my lot in life. No, my God is a good God. My God is better than this. My God is an awesome God. Amen. Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread and it belongs to you. Yes. And belongs to me. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Folks, this is serious. I'm telling you. I tell you what you ought to be this morning is a little bird. You ought to have your mouth wide open, your spirit mouth wide open, saying, "I want to take it all in. I'm going to take it all in. I'm going to take it all in." Hallelujah. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How well do we know Him? Oh, Lord, I want to know Him better and better. I want to know Him more. I want to know. The very reason Jesus came was to redeem us from our sin, to dethrone the soul, and introduce the Father to us. That's the very reason He came. Now, if you can look at Jesus and see one time He made anybody sick, then you have a right to say God makes people sick. If you can look at Jesus and find one time where He agreed with the storm rather than rebuke it, then you've got a right to write an insurance policy and say act of God. Or if you can look at Jesus and see one time where He didn't show mercy, then you have a right not to show mercy. But He was full of grace and truth. He was blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why are you blessed when you show mercy? Why is that? Because one day you will need a truckload yourself. Don't ever think you can outgrow mercy. Don't ever think we can outgrow our need for Jesus less. I need Him more. I need Him more. I need mercy more. I need Him more. I need to know more about Him today. I don't care what age I could be. I could be 90 years old and I would still be telling you I need the Lord more today than I did when I was 20. I need Him more now. I love Him more. I want Him more. See, that's the way God designed us, because He just said, "I want to keep giving myself to you. I want to keep giving myself to you." How well do we know Him? Jesus said, I think it's in John 17, I think it's maybe that one's in verse 3. It is verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See, Jesus said, Father, I want them to know me and you. Now, how all this is going to come together, I don't know. All I know is there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. All I know is there was a Savior came to this world and bled and died and for me and you, rose again for our justification. I do know that. All I know is he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, Acts 10:38, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. That's Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Did you hear about Jesus, the Nazarite, the Nazarene? You never know what he might do. That's not the word. The woman with issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, she said, that's the one I need to touch because I will be made whole. Amen. Don't err. See, I haven't deviated. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't get it wrong. Make no mistake about it. God is absolutely good. It's never too late. The Lord had me pray with Candy this morning. Acts chapter 3, the man crippled by the gate beautiful. The Bible said he never had walked. He was above 40 years old, but he still walked. John 5, the man by the pool of Bethesda had been 38 years, but it wasn't too late for Jesus. The woman with issue of blood, 12 years, but it wasn't too late for Jesus. The woman bowed over together 18 years, but it wasn't too late for Jesus. You see, so many times we think, well, it's just been this long now, so I guess I'll never get it. We shouldn't think that way. We shouldn't think that way. Why is it written? Amen. Now, I want to close, but give you Psalm 23. Hopefully I can quote it, then we have it in the Living Translation. We'll look at it in just a second. How well do you know the Lord? Listen at the personal pronoun. This is David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see how David knew the Lord? He just talked about what he was going. I mean, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Look at it in your bulletin. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet stream. He gives me new strength. He helps me to do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of mine enemies. What a word. See, you could say, oh, I'm so depressed, or you could have some delicious food. I'd rather have the delicious food. In the presence of your enemies, he'll give you delicious food. So somebody says your enemies has to be present before you get blessed. Or maybe because. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen. He provides delicious food for me in the presence of mine enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home. Now, folks, I mean, how well do we know him? We ought to just talk. I know him. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He provides all of my needs. He's the glory and lifter of my head. He's the strength of my life. He's anointed me with goodness. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He provides. He is more than, he's my good shepherd. He's looked ahead and made provision. What's wrong with talking about how good God is and personalize his blessings in your life? Why do we want to say, well, we always come up short. We never have enough. I'm sick as a dog, and I guess I'll probably die with a toothache in my heel, you know. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so confused. Life is so hard. Life is so complicated. All you're doing is inviting demons to come and say, amen, amen, amen. No, they don't say it. They go, amen, amen, amen. They're more like that. Folks, I know some may not realize this. We think we ought to talk normal like the world talks. Jesus said, I prayed for them not to be part of the world. He said, I didn't pray you would take them out of the world, but you would keep them from the evil. Then when Hebrews 3:12 tells us, take heed lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We don't want that in our life. Amen. Psalm 34, 1 and 3, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalm 44, 8. In God we boast all day long and praise thy name. And praise means to boast, or means to make a fool, or it means to ooh and ah and go on and on about him. Amen. Hallelujah. But he is so good to us, church. He is so good. He is so good. And he will do good things for us. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard. He is not limited by our careers, our job, our what we would consider fixed income. God is not, he is not limited to that. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. I'll tell you this one little testimony, then we'll do some music or something here. Years and years ago, here at the church, the way we first started off here, we didn't know how to do, you know, what was the divine order of things. So when I first started pastoring in 82, we voted on everything, like the chandelier. You heard that story, haven't you? That this church was going to vote on the chandeliers, and an old man raised his hands, and I'm against it. They said, why are you against it? He said, well, first of all, nobody can't spell that word. And he said, if you can spell it, when you order it and you get it in, so nobody can play it, so what we need around here is more light. And another group church was going to build a new church. So they let the congregation vote. And here's what they come up with. Well, we voted to build a new church, and we're going to build it on the side of the old church, and we're going to use the lumber out of the old church to build the new church. Can imagine what they got done? Nothing. But anyway, years ago, and this may sound like a lot, but you'll realize it wasn't a lot when I tell you. The church voted that Pam and I should take half of the money that came in. And that, well, I thought, well, okay, that's what we're supposed to do. We'll do it. Well, Brother Drew, that sounds like a good deal. Well, you've not been on my end of it yet. We had no way of knowing what was what. We got checks to show 1 week was 69, 1 week was 102, 1 week might have been 269, 1 week might have been 54, 1 week was 27. Did I go to the pulpit crying? No, never did, never had. The Lord had me to stop a man on the way down the road. He said, what you need is more than $27. And he said, if what you have does not meet your need, that becomes your seed. So I stopped the man, signed it, and I said, "Brother, the Lord told me to give this to you." It was $27. He said, "Well, that's wonderful, because I needed gas money." That was on a Sunday. You can ask Pam. On Monday morning, we lived in a trailer in Putman. There was a knock on the door, and we went to the door. Nobody was there, but a little brown paper bag was there. $900 and some in it. So, you know, we just believe Him. We trust Him. Was that hard? Sure. Was it hard on my flesh? Very. Was I wanting to get frustrated? Sure. Can I tell on me back in my immature days? Leave Loretta out of it. Oh, Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this one, because I was so immature, like a lot of men are. We were going through those struggle times, and I told Pam, I said, "Pam, let's forget this church business stuff." I said, "People wanting to call here." I said, "Let's have the..." We didn't have money to pay the phone. I said, "Take it out. Call them. Tell them. Unhook it. Take it out." Well, I was just going off on her, and she just sat there like a little precious darling. And then the Lord said, "Why don't you call them? Big bucks." "What do you want Pam to call them? Why don't you call them? You're such a big boy. You call them." Boy, the Lord can sure belittle. He can sure put you in place. But then again, that wasn't really what got me, and I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to pray. He said, "You're telling me that you're going to preach faith and believe me to bless you, and you're going to let a little phone bill trip you up and cause you all this kind of problem, and then you're going to go to the pulpit and preach faith." I said, "Well, Lord, since you said it that way, I think I'll change my mind." And I just got my attitude straightened out. I repented. And I just said, "Father, I praise you and worship you." And to this day, our phone has never been turned off, nor the power. Now, folks, I mean, I'm here to tell you, we've all had our Job stories. Linda used to come visit. She still does occasionally. We go visit her all the time now. Yummy, yummy, yummy food in my tummy. She fixes that delicious food all the time. But when she would come and see Pam and I, we lived out Putman, a lot of times she'd bring milk, bread, and bologna. And I'd say, "Pam, what did Linda bring that for?" "Oh, she just wanted to bring it to us." And Jim, I didn't even know. Pam was so precious. I didn't even know we didn't have milk. We didn't have bread. We didn't have bologna. She's protected me so much. Instead of hooking in and making the problem worse, she's been so strong to protect and not to, you know, cause me to be overwhelmed and all this type of stuff. I mean, it was years ago. Of course, she still does it today. But so I'm not preaching something that we haven't lived. We've lived this. I had another guy one time. He said, "Brother, why didn't you call me since your phone bill was that far behind? Why didn't you call me? I'd have paid it." I said, "Brother, if you wait for your phone to ring," and I wasn't prideful either. "If you wait for your phone to ring, for me to call you or to borrow money off of you..." I have never borrowed money off anybody in this church ever. Whole years we've been here. I've never told a sad luck story and throwed hints to anybody. Never. So when are you starting now? But I just told him, I said, "Well, brother, out of all due respect and love," I said, "I just can't." I said, "I'm not going to call and ask you." I said, "I'm going to call my father." I said, "He'll tell you." And I said, obviously the Lord probably had been dealing with him and he just wasn't responding. And I don't say that in a negative way, because we've all had the Lord deal with us, and maybe we didn't respond as He would ask us to. But anyway, how well do you know Him? He loves you. I love you. Pam and I love you. We love each other. We've hit the jackpot. And I do want us to believe God, because the best is yet to come.